Tonight's message is simply entitled, Stay Positive. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of John chapter 16 and Romans chapter 8. John chapter 16 and Romans chapter 8. TonyPerkins.com says, quote, at press time, COVID-19 vaccines were making their way across the nation as debate still swirled around concerns about the swift process, ingredients, and safety of the vaccines, unquote. There are concerns about a second wave of infections. There are concerns about a Brazilian variation of the COVID-19 virus. There are concerns about the U.S. economy, let alone the world economy. Yet, no matter the issues of life that we are facing, our Lord would encourage us to stay positive. Jesus is giving his disciples final instructions before he is arrested, tried, convicted, and crucified. And here in John chapter 16, verse 33, we find this thought. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this encouraging thought. Even though you were about to go to the cross, you are encouraging your disciples to be of good cheer. And Lord, as we come once again praying for those of our number who have issues concerning the COVID-19, and Lord, may we rest fully in the fact that you are in control. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Stay positive. Given the world we live in today, it is sometimes easier said than done. Following Saul's conversion, and after his name was changed to Paul, he wrote to the believers in Rome expressing his faith in the Lord. You know, it's one thing to have faith in the Lord when all is going well, but it's much harder to have faith in the Lord when it seems like nothing is going right. When it just seems like every phone call is bringing bad news or discouraging thoughts. And sometimes our faith can be put to the test. But I think as we read the book of Romans chapter 8, we find that there are positive thoughts throughout. And we'll be giving you 8 thoughts tonight from Romans chapter 8. Richard Coons wrote this thought, I am not optimistic based on what I feel. I am optimistic based on what God says. And folks, can I encourage you, rely upon the word of the Lord. Keep your eyes on him. Looking unto the author and finisher of our faith is of good advice. Remember that in the midst of life, God is relevant and real. God's word is inspired and inerrant. As we look at 8 thoughts, we hope that you will be encouraged tonight. Number one, and if you're taking notes, number one is, my sins are forgiven and my eternity is secure. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. My sins are forgiven. Notice what it says in Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. The Bible clearly tells us that the wages of sin is death. Because of sin, we have death and sickness in our world. But in the world to come, where there'll be no more tears, and there'll be no more sickness, and there'll be no more death, we have a great promise that which we can count on. My sins are forgiven. Now, I don't know about you, but I know that I'm a sinner. And our thought lives are the area that we struggle in the most. Sometimes because of discouragement or frustration or depression. But the fact is, our sins have been forgiven. Let's not let Satan bring guilt into our lives and making us feel inadequate. The fact is, let's keep our eyes on the Lord. And our eternity is secure. Great days lay ahead in a place where the street is of gold, where he has gone to prepare a place for you and for me. What a glorious thought. Number two, Jesus is at the right hand of God making intercession for me. Verse 34 of this chapter in the book of Romans, chapter 8. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. He is praying for us. He is making petitions for us. Sometimes you watch some Hallmark movie and they talk about, well, I think that so-and-so was looking down from heaven and asking God to bless me. No, that doesn't happen, folks. Number one, do you really want people in heaven looking over a wall down upon us? That wouldn't be heaven. No, they are not doing that. But our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is making intercession for you and for me. He knows what we need, even before we ask it. But one thing he does promise us, that when we go through the hard times of life and we cast all our cares upon him, he will not leave us nor forsake us. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He makes intercession for you and for me. Number three, my future victory is greater than my present pain. Verse 18. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever suffered from back issues, but someone has well said that if your back hurts, you hurt all over. And some of us have, because of one thing or another, have suffered back concerns. And even as I sit here this evening, I am in some discomfort. But the fact is, my future victory is greater than my present pain. Verse 18. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. That the sufferings that we endure, and for some, you've endured it for many, many years. But we want to remember that we hope that you remember that God is with us. And he will be there with us through the difficult time. My future victory. We talk an awful lot about having a winning team. And we that are in the Detroit sports market right now, well, to be quite honest, we have four teams that are really struggling. Now, we do remember the glory days of the Red Wings and even of the Pistons, and the Tigers have had some great years. Unfortunately, the Lions have not been the best. But, you know, we really think that great days could be ahead. But when it comes to our spiritual lives, believe it, great days lay ahead. My future victory is greater than my present pain. Number four, my mind is filled with the peace of God. What's your mind filled with right now? Now, for some of you, you're thinking, well, when you're done, we're going to have dinner. And maybe you're pondering what you're going to eat. Or maybe you're planning some other activity this evening. Maybe you're going to play some game or watch a TV program, and you have different thoughts. But I hope that your mind is filled with the peace of God, the peace that only He can give, that He can give the peace that the world cannot give. But Romans chapter 8 and verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Do you ponder the word of the Lord day by day? Do you sing songs of the faith? Do you remember that the Lord is a constant companion, that the Holy Spirit lives within us, and He brings with us the peace that only God can give? You know, one of the blessings of having my parents as my parents was seeing the faith that both my mother and my dad had, even during difficult times. There was a peace that my mother had that most people don't have because of her faith in a sovereign God. And I hope that you have that same peace. Number five, if God is for me, who can be against me? Romans chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. Verses 31 and 32. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Oh, they may try to bring us down. And even those who have been martyred for the faith, they could say, well, see, we put you to death. All that did is usher them into the presence of God. And what a glorious thought that is, to spend eternity with our Lord and Savior. So if God is for me, who can be against me? Number six. God's Spirit helps me in my weakness. Now, I know I probably could have done these in a different order, and I should have, but the fact is it's God's Spirit helps me in my weakness. Now, I'm not going to tell you what my weaknesses are. I probably tell you far more about me than I should. But all of us have areas in our life where there is a weakness, a soft spot, a place that brings discomfort. But God's Spirit can help in that area of weakness. Let's look at verses 24 through 26. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. What an interesting statement. Then it says that the Spirit helpeth with our infirmities. Yes, we have issues, and the Spirit is willing to help us. And it says here, for we know not what we should pray for. I told Donna yesterday that there are times that I wonder, I don't even know how to pray concerning certain issues. And so I end up simply saying, God, thy will be done, because I'm not sure. But do you find it a blessing that not only is Jesus Christ making intercession for us, but the Holy Spirit also groaneth and makes intercession for you and for me? See, they know our weaknesses. They know we are but human. They know that we are going to go through difficult times. And sometimes as we go through those difficult times, we may feel defeated. And yet we find in the book of Proverbs that a just man falleth seven times, yet riseth up again. Why is he able to get up again? Because the Spirit is encouraging him. And may I encourage you to know that God's Spirit helps during our times of weakness, times of frustration, times of concern, when we don't know what the future holds. God knows, and He is there with us during these difficult times, whatever they may be. Number seven. God's working everything in my life for good and God's purpose. Now, you knew we'd get to verse 28 sooner or later, didn't you? God's working everything in a certain direction. Notice verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good. Now, the verse doesn't end there. It doesn't just simply say that all things work together for good. But it continues, to them that love God. Now, that's important that we understand that. That if we don't love God, if we only love ourselves and we're only concerned about me, myself, and ours, don't expect things always to work out. But if we love God, all things can work out for them that love Him, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Those who have answered the call, things will work out. Yes, tough times can come into our hearts and lives. Yes, death can come. Yes, frustrations, loss of jobs, loss of income, loss of family togetherness can come. But God can use it for His honor and for His glory. I was just reading an article from one of our missionaries and how that one of the as he called them, grandmas, has passed away. And at the funeral, her son, who they had prayed for many years, came to know Christ as Savior at the funeral of his mother. See, things can work together for good even when things seem so hard. Which brings us to number eight. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. Let's begin reading at verse 35 down through verse 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So can I tell you this, that COVID-19 cannot separate us from the love of God? Can I tell you this, that whatever we're experiencing right now, it cannot separate us from the love of God? For God so loved the world that He gave us His only begotten Son. His love is something we don't understand, but it is secure. And when we're in His hands, we are secure. In conclusion, would you please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. We'll begin reading at verse 1. And you hath he quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation or lifestyle in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, don't you love those two words? But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Stay positive, for we are his workmanship. Stay positive, because we have been created unto good works. Stay positive that we should walk in them. May I encourage you, get a hold of the Lord and hang on tight. That no matter what comes our way, be assured of this one thing, that he who is for us will keep us until the job is done that he has planned for us. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for your love and your mercy. Be with these of our number, Lord, that we have mentioned, those awaiting surgery tomorrow and those who are recovering from the virus. Give strength, Lord, during this difficult time. And Lord, we pray now that your will would be done in these matters. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.